ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
I have been giving the introduction to the Bhrigavalli so that later on it would be much easier for us to understand third chapter. In that connection, certain points I have already mentioned. One of the points is, in this Bhrigavalli, the teacher, having given the definite instruments and a clear knowledge of the goal to be reached, which is Brahman, but in this case, it is the Saguna Brahma. How do we know? Because he has given the definition. And having given these two, explained these two, the teacher told the disciple, Varuna taught to Bhrigu, Tapasa Brahma Vijignasasva. And we have seen what is called tapasya, intense thinking, deep thinking, until no doubt ever separates us from the object of our thinking. The thinker and the thought become one. So, one of the definitions of upasanas is the vyasti, the individual, is not separate from the samashti. The individual, the finite, is not separate from the infinite. Jiva is not separate from Brahman. And through this process of deep thinking, to know I am the samashti, is to know I am Brahman, is to know I am all. So I am Brahman, sarvam khalvidam brahma, aham sarvam. This is called sarvabhavana, thinking that I am everything. Again, Sri Ramakrishna says, Mother showed me, am I not eating through all of you? Is it that I am starving while others are eating? So, what are the important things that Varuna had taught? First of all, he gave, if you want to do anything, achieve anything, two things are needed. First thing is, what is it exactly what you want to achieve? The goal, the purpose. That is why Swami Vivekananda said, each soul is potentially divine. That is the goal. The goal is to manifest that I am divine. And then the means, immediately, Swamiji comes in the third sentence that you strive to attain this goal, to know I am divine. How? Through karma yoga, bhakti yoga, raja yoga, or jnana yoga, by any combination of these, by combining all, but to know that I am Brahman. I am divine means I am Brahman. So, these are the means. Here, in this Bhrigavalli, Varuna first gives the means. What are the means? Panchakoshas. What is Maya? Panchakoshas. What is Avidya? Panchakoshas. What is samsara? What is creation? Panchakoshas. There is nothing other than the panchakoshas. Once we realize that we are bound by the idea of these panchakoshas, starting with I am the Annamaya Kosha, and if I do spiritual practice and progress further, I am Pranamaya Kosha, etc. And in this identification also, first identification, I am the individual divinity. My body is sacred, because we have to continuously be aware that the effect is nothing but manifested cause. Visible cause is called effect. Invisible effect is called the cause. That's all the difference. If Brahman is pure consciousness, then this universe cannot be anything but pure consciousness. To make us understand, Vidyaranya gives us the analogy of the figures on a painting. Or we can use the modern example, all the story that we see enacted on the screen, it is all nothing but manifestation of light. If we compare the light to pure consciousness and our pure mind to the screen, all the thoughts arising can be compared to the projecting machine. So when the light passes through that film which the projector is projecting, and those figures in the film stand out magnified as if they have come to life. So everything is pure consciousness. What is Jagat? Brahman, the pure consciousness, reflected in our individual minds. So if the mind is too much covered with impurities, we see a faint reflection, which we call Annamaya Kosha. If it is a little more purified, then we realize the picture becomes clearer, and that becomes the Pranamaya, still more clearer, and that would be the Manomaya, and more clear, Vijnanamaya, more clear, Anandamaya. Even that clearest picture is after all a picture. We want that pure light which should not be limited by the figure, by the picture. So that is the process. So for that purpose, first of all, Brahman means here the goal. What was Bhrigu was asking, coming to his father as a fit disciple to a knower of Brahman. Here they are not father and son. Here they are a God-realized soul being approached in the most appropriate way, having endowed with all the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, adhikari, became a fit person. Then only any teacher will teach you. Even in the most common things, a teacher will not teach the 7th class lesson to a student who is in the 6th class. Because 6th class, it makes the person get prepared to receive the teachings of the 7th class. Similarly, yogyata, fitness, receptive capacity has to be acquired. So, Brahman has to be defined. And there are two definitions of Brahman. One is called Swarupa Lakshana, another is called Tatastha Lakshana. Swarupa Lakshana is Nirguna Brahma. Tatastha Lakshana Brahma is Saguna Brahma. So, the father, being a wise teacher, so he has been kept, in fact, in this world by God himself. We have to understand, through Sri Ramakrishna's life and teachings, whenever Sri Ramakrishna used to teach, and it helped everybody that came there, then they used to thank sometimes. Then he used to say, I do not know anything, only my Divine Mother knows. Every Jivan Mukta knows, it is only Brahman. I, as an individual, do not exist. And as Brahman, I cannot exist in this form, because this body mind is too limited. So, a Jivan Mukta doesn't have the idea that I am the body and mind. But a little bit of egotism is kept in him, and he knows. God has kept in me this egotism. Sri Ramakrishna says, some people kept the ego of devotion. Some people have kept the ego of knowledge. We should never ever misunderstand. Okay, I am coming out from Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Now, I will assume the attitude of a jnani or the attitude of a devotee. No, there is no I there. It is only, so many examples are given. It is like a sword turned into a golden sword. It appears to be like a sword, but it cannot really function as the real sword. So it is just an appearance, that's all. So who is keeping that attitude? I am the jnani. Like Sri Ramakrishna gives the example of Shankaracharya, he kept the egotism, the feeling, the attitude, I am a jnani. Did Shankara keep that attitude? Did Shankara exist to put that attitude? No. Then giving the example of Narada, is Narada kept the ego of devotee in order to enjoy the divine? Did he keep or did God keep in him? That is a very crucial question. Of course, not very important for sadhana, but important for our intellect. And Sri Ramakrishna himself, or we get the light from an incident that we get in the gospel itself. One day Sri Ramakrishna was having a conversation with M. And then Sri Ramakrishna himself directly asks M, do you think I have any egotism? Immediately M answers, no sir, you do not have any egotism, but the mother kept a bit of egotism in you so that you can enjoy a divine bliss. Immediately comes the reply from Sri Ramakrishna, no, I haven't kept. It is my mother who kept. Because once a river merges in the ocean, and then if the ocean throws it out for some distance, that river has lost its power to be called as such and such a river. I was Ganga. I went and merged. I came out. No. It is the ocean only now. And it will be mixed up. How do we know? You taste that water. It will not be Ganga water. It will be the ocean's water. Salty water. So, God keeps. That is how God sports in this world. In fact, come to the fact, every one of our egos is also nothing but is God's only. Whatever activities our egotism is making is nothing but God only playing. That is the most beautiful meaning expressed in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvaraha sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. So, the Divine Mother alone is playing. Who is the player? Divine Mother only. Who is making it play? Divine Mother only. Who is the audience? Divine Mother only. This is the highest thought. Coming back, so nobody can define what is the Swarupa, real nature. That is what Sri Ramakrishna again and again says, especially to Vidyasagar, no one can define what Brahman is so far. So anything that comes out of man's mouth has become polluted as it were. And Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar says, what marvelous words today I understood. He must have read about it many times in the scriptures. But by the presence of Sri Ramakrishna, Vidyasagar was enlightened. That is the effect of satsanga. But this universe is also nothing but Brahman in play. That is why when we see and I see Brahman as though it is acting, I call it Shakti. That is how we have to understand. That is called Tatastha Lakshana. Tatastha Lakshana means that which is visible, that which is experienceable, transactionable. That universe, this Vyakta, manifest universe, is called Tatastha Lakshana. So, how do we know? There is a beautiful example is given, a classic example. Somebody wanted to know where is the particular house in a particular colony, and every house in that colony looks absolutely alike. So this stranger wanted to know, I want to meet Devadatta. Where is his house? And somebody pointed out, because every house looked absolutely alike. You see that crow which is sitting, that is the house where Devadatta lives. Now the sitting of the crow on that house is not part of the house, not a regular duty, but it is an accidental association. So this, when we are in the waking and dream states, we see this world. When we are in deep sleep, the same world totally disappears. So, this is called Tatastha Lakshana. What is the Tatastha Lakshana? That from whom everything in this world has come. It's very important for us to emphasize, everything has come out. Why? I will tell you shortly. And who is sustaining this entire universe? Everything in this universe, without exception, including the non-living also. Lastly, every effect must go back to its cause. When a golden ornament is melted, it must go back. That melting process is called laya. Srishti sthiti laya. So, every effect must go back to its cause. Now, you just see a golden instrument, ornament, and you seek the cause. It has come from gold. And what is it sustaining? Gold only. Because a golden ornament will never become either a silver ornament or an iron ornament or any other matter. It will remain as pure gold, but with name and form. And if it is melted, what is destroyed? Only the name and form are destroyed. But the gold remained. Gold was, gold is, and gold will be. So Brahman was, as if to say, Brahman is, and Brahman will be in the end also. So seek out the cause. So in this world we see the individual golden ornament has come from that piece of gold. But Varuna is telling everything, not only gold, silver, wood, all the five elements, Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Jala and Prithvi, all these elements, from whom have they come? So, if in the first instance, lowest instance, everything has come from food. Not only that, we will come to know about it. Everything, living, non-living, has come only from Prithvi. Here, we are talking about the universal aspect. It has come, everything has come from food. This baby has come from food, which is manifesting in the form of mother and father, individual mother and father. But collectively, every living and non-living being, what is its cause? You think over it, you meditate upon it, you will see whether it is mighty Himalayas, mighty rivers like Amazon, etc. They have all come from Prithvi only. And where from Prithvi has come? From Jala, Apsu. So you can't say everything has come only from Prithvi. That is the final cause. Earth is not the, Prithvi is not the final cause. Neither water is the final cause. Nor fire, Agni is the final cause. Nor Vayu is the final cause. Nor even Akasha is the final cause. And ultimately, even that Akasha is originated or grossified, manifested with name and form, is nothing but pure Brahman. So this is what we have to understand. This is called Tatastha Lakshana or accidental description, accidental emanation. So what is the way to find out? So here is a goal defined. The goal is to realize your true nature Your true nature is the final cause. The final cause is Brahman. So when you realize I am Brahman, your quest will come to an end. Marvelous. But we must require some instruments in order to practice it. What are that? Then he tells about panchakoshas. So these panchakoshas is just entered there. This body, these eyes, these ears is not mentioned everything. So annam, chakshuhu, shrotram, manaha, etc. He gave a few hints. But we have to understand them as representation of all the five koshas, panchakoshas. How do we know? Because that is how, having said these two things, your goal is to know that you are Brahman, and this is the proximate definition of what is Brahman, not real, because real definition can never be given. But when you succeed in identifying with Saguna Brahma, which is another name for this entire creation, then automatically your eyes will be opened, you will go beyond Saguna Brahma, and then realize I am that supreme reality called Brahman. So these are the two things. So panchakoshas are like staircases where Nirguna Brahma is the roof, so to say. But in this case, we have to say that is the Saguna Brahma. Once we reach there, then something happens. We do not know what happens, how it happens, but then we become free. This is the idea. The other idea that is compared, this Brahma Vichara should never be conducted on one's own, because we have least idea. If anyone wants to become an expert pickpocket, then he should go to a guru who learned, who has become an expert in picking other people's pockets. So one should never do, not only in spiritual life, but whether it is in the intellectual life, aesthetic life, or moral life, one should always take the help of a teacher, then the journey will be very easy. Every teacher, beginning from Vedavyasa and coming back to Totapuri, Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swamiji, everybody should have to sit. This is called Guru Sishya Sampradaya, at the feet of the Guru, and believe what he says, then target him as Brahman. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha. And then there is a chance, hope, that definitely one can reach. So having said that, this is the important thing. Guru must be approached. Like Shvetaketu approached his own father, Swami Vivekananda approached. Very interesting parallels. Narendra was moving here and there, asking whether anybody has seen God. And his cousin brother, Ramchandra Datta said that, Naren, don't waste your time. I know all these fellows. None of them have not even put one foot in the, not only in the spiritual path, even in the direction of the spiritual path. They're all empty people. Only there is one person who is the Paramahamsa, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. And there is an interesting story behind it. When Narendranath was studying in the college, I think one day a professor was trying to teach them one of the poems of Wordsworth, and he could not convey. And he thought the students were dull. Then he left the classroom. And then the principal of that college, Professor Hastings, he was coming that way. He observed it, and then he entered the classroom and very gently inquired what is the cause of the frustration. And the student said, "Sir, our professor is trying to teach us the poems of Wordsworth." And then the Professor Hastings takes it up, and then he says something very interesting. He says, "No one can understand unless one becomes a Wordsworth what he really means. But at least we have to make an attempt to be like Wordsworth. How to be? I know only one person at Dakshineswar who is called now Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, and he is the only person who experiences the same state that Wordsworth used to experience. You go and see him. So he heard, but Narendra had never done. It was Ramchandra Datta who said, don't waste your time. He going hither and thither. You go straight to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Of course, they met at Suresh Mitra's house and some ineffable attraction rose between them. Narendra did not know that, like a fish which was caught in a hook, he already, the bait was spread. And by the way, what I wanted to convey to you, that everything that happens in our life is nothing but preordained. It's not that accidentally Sri Ramakrishna went to a devotee's house, accidentally Narendranath met him. There is no accident in this life if you believe in Karma Siddhanta. So Narendranath sang two marvelous songs, completely absorbed in their bhava. Ramakrishna immediately understood, this is the soul I have been waiting for. He is going to be my instrument, Divine Mother's instrument, in spreading the message of Vedanta or Dharmasthapana. Then, that there is also something very interesting there. What does Sri Ramakrishna mean by Dharmasthapana? That is, propagation of Vedanta. Which Vedanta? Advaita Vedanta. Why Advaita Vedanta? Not Advaita, not Vishishta Advaita. So when, if you study Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, you understand that Vedanta means Advaita Vedanta, includes every religion, includes every important spiritual teaching, includes every spiritual discipline. There is no controversy. Gaudapada himself says, we have no quarrel with any other systems because they are all included in Advaita. But so long as we do not reach Advaita, we will be quarreling, fighting, and be kept away from our goal. Coming back, this is the teaching we have been given. A Guru Shishya Sampradaya should never be broken. That is why we have to understand through the commentaries of Shankaracharya, etc., that one has to go to the proper guru with the proper qualifications, then only it is possible. And then immediately, as we discussed, Brahma Upalabdhi Dwarani. So the doorways, the instruments, the staircases through which Brahman can be slowly reached. And what are they? Annam, Pranam, Chakshuhu, Shrotram, Mano, Vacham, Iti. So, Annam represents Annamaya Kosha. Pranam represents Pranamaya Kosha. Chakshuhu, Shrotram, Vacham. We can say that represents other koshas, not directly given, but Manaha, that is Manomaya Kosha. We can say all the other sense organs, they give us knowledge, and that is Vijnanamaya Kosha. And then whatever the employment, these five sense organs that are given to us, and we have to include also five sense organs of action also, because without them, the five sense organs of knowledge will be like people who buy, like a person who could see, but who is lame. The other instruments are like a person who cannot see, but who can walk. So, the person who can see, cannot walk, should be taken up by the person who can't see but walk, and then the person will be directing. So, all the sense organs bring us what? Knowledge. So, we can say in a way, all these sense organs, they indicate also what Annam represents Annamaya Kosha, the sense organs represent Vijnanamaya Kosha. But what is the purpose? Why do we employ only for ananda. So the purpose, the goal is to be happy. That represents anandamaya kosha. So what is it that is to be realized? Brahman. But in the beginning, only tatastha lakshana has to be given. So then Bhrigu said something very important. He said, he gave the hints. This is the definition of tatastha brahma or saguna brahma. And these are the means. Then he says, tapasa brahma vijignasasva. Realize brahman through tapasya. What is tapasya? Upasana. What is upasana? Deep thinking. What is deep thinking? Until we completely destroy, eliminate the difference between the contemplator and the object of contemplation, and the vyasti says, I am samashti. So there is a instance of Vamadeva. We get it in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Vamadeva realized, even when he was in the womb of his mother, aham sarvam abhavam. I am all. I realize I am everything. How did he realize? In the womb. But we should not play importance there. It is to say his efforts had become fructified when he took that. It must have been the last birth of this Vamadeva. So many people are like that. We can see the example of Shukadeva. Even in the mother's womb, he realized, Aham Brahmasmi. And then he was not born for 16 years. Then his father, Krishnadvaipayana, Vyasa, prayed to the Divine Mother, begging her grace. Then he came out. Don't ask me how his mother put up with 16-year-old boy. No, these are all to tell that he was a born Brahmagnani. And he was the greatest renouncer in the world. And he started, Shukadeva started walking. And he had no attachment to anybody. This is my father, this is my mother. I am Brahma, that's all. And that beautiful saying, when Shuka was passing that way, not caring, completely absorbed in Brahman. Therefore, he was not able to hear his father's individual voice. And he became identified with the entire universe. His father was shouting and running after him, my son, my son. And because Shukadeva identified with everything, everything became Shukadeva. And then they are replying, yes, father, why are you calling me? Every plant, even every piece of rock is replying like that. And to illustrate that, Vyasa did not attain Brahmagnana, at least in that story. There is another story added. These are good. Remember now and then. There was a lake and some beautiful women having kept their clothes on the bank of the pond. They were taking, they were what is called water sport, playing playfully in the waters. And it is very pleasant in especially this summer season. So this, when Shuka passed very near to them, completely naked, like a baby just born, only young man just born. They looked upon him, they saw him, but he was like a piece of wood, piece of rock, no emotion had ever stirred. But this man completely clad, old Vedavyasa was running. The moment their eyes caught hold of his sight, hastily they came out and covered themselves and shivering with shame. Then Vedavyasa, he stopped, he was astonished, he was an intelligent person. I am an old man, my son just now passed in front of you. You did not react, I noticed it. But I am an old man, immediately you became shy. That means what? The gopis, they have answered him as if that, you have not gotten rid of the idea that I am the body. You are completely aware. Here are some beautiful women. Beautiful means what? They are young women, worthy of enjoyment. But when your son passed, we did not take notice because he became identified even with us. A great lesson for all of us to learn. So we have to cross our identity first with the individual kosha, then with the collective kosha. For each of the five koshas, we have to do that. That is going to come here. So the way is to first of all shed our attachment to this individual body, then slowly become identified with the collective body, which is called Virat. Then we will have the permission, or we will have the capacity to enter into the higher class. We identify ourselves with prana. Now the process is known, and then we identify ourselves with the what is called Sutratma. Sutratma is the collective name for the collective prana. And then the next step is identify with every mind. And that the collective name for collective minds, the name is Hiranyagarbha. Then identification with the entire individual as well as universal Vijnanamaya Kosha, the name for which is Mahat. And finally, that highest, thinnest of layers separating one from Brahman, pure Brahman, Anandamaya Kosha. And then Bhrigu reached one by one. How? Through the only means in the past, present or future. Let it be any guru, let it be any scripture, anybody who is traveling, who is completely determined, I want to reach God. The only way is tapaha. Tapaha means deep thinking. Deep thinking is called upasana. Upasana means shedding identity with the individuality and becoming one with the universality. That is how we have to progress in spiritual life, not only in the past, not only at present, but in future also. There is no other way. Everything that we are attached to, and our attachment starts with the outward possessions, what Sri Ramakrishna used to call mama. Then the next bondage will be aham, I and mine. And then only pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, anandamaya kosha. And then go beyond, because kosha means limitation. Limitation means object limits. So even anandamaya kosha is a limitation only, even though very pleasant limitation. Many people get stuck there only. But God is grace. So, the gracious God understands, my child has come so near to me, now I will take him into my own lap. But we have to remember all this journey from the Annamaya to Anandamaya is only by the grace of God, nothing else. And then at the end, it is said this knowledge of Brahman, which Bhrigu has attained, is called Bhargavi or Varuni Vidya. So, Bhargavi means the Vidya that was given to Bhrigu and through which he realized his own nature, true nature. That's why it is called Bhrigu's Vidya is called Bhargavi. Or it is also called Varuni because Varuna taught this Vidya to Bhrigu. Not only to Bhrigu, he might have taught to many other people also. So, the Vidya, the knowledge which Varuna was in the habit of giving to worthy students is called Varuni Vidya. And then in the end he says, whoever like Bhrigu does tapasya and crosses over slowly but gradually all these panchakoshas, he will also like Bhrigu, like many other people before Bhrigu. This is not, Bhrigu is not the first person. Neither he will be the last person. In this creation, there is no first or last. There are billions and billions. Everybody ultimately will get. But there are certain things we have to understand. Without karma yoga, without upasana yoga, we cannot cross our individual identity with the body, with the prana, with the mind, with the buddhi, with the ananda. That is to say, we have to practice a moral life. For that, certain upasanas are given. So there are some, they are called vratas. What is the first vrata? Food should not be criticized. Food means, the grossest meaning of food is the food that we eat. That's why, whether it is tasty, not tasty, but whatever we get by the divine will or according to our karma phala, we have to offer it. This is Bhagavan himself. Mother Annapurna herself is coming in the form of the food. That's why annam na nindiyat. One should never ever even think of criticizing food. Why? Because even the most decomposed rotten food is also appropriate food for somebody. Simple example, may not be a very elegant example. The feces that any creature gives it up because it could not digest becomes the sacred food for what is called dung in that insect. So, dung beetle, they call it. Suppose a dung beetle, through some purva punya phala, has become a devotee. What do you think it will do before eating the dung? Brahmarpanam. And we think we are not eating dung. Actually, what we are eating is nothing but dung only. Because when we plant the seeds, what do we supply? Fertilizer. What is the fertilizer, especially in the olden days, is nothing but cow dung, pig dung, goat's dung, and chicken dung, or even any creature's dung. And that dung nourishes the plants. That means the plants are nothing but the transformation of that dung. When we are eating that dung, what are we eating? Not only that, some Swami used to say something very funny, that every one of us inescapably eat our ancestors. Because when their bodies are either burnt or buried, they become food. They go back to their elements. And that becomes fertilizer. And that fertilizer, without, albeit unconsciously, we become fertilizer with our dead bodies. Dead bodies are nothing but fertilizer. And our ancestors, when they become fertilizer, they fertilize all the plants, etc. And eating those plants, we live for some time. And again, we also give a portion of it back, which is not suitable for our bodies, but suitable. Everything is suitable for everything else. I cannot refrain myself but to indicate to you, David Attenborough was one of the greatest commentators on nature. He says, in this universe, God so ordained that nothing really goes waste. Even a dried leaf that falls from the tree, it becomes a fertilizer. That means beautiful food for certain creatures. And only they eat that rotten leaves and then they multiply and then they also give up something. This take in and give out process is going on throughout the world. So first we will explore the inner meaning of this annam later on. Annam na nindya, that is the first vratam. Second is annam should not be wasted. Because this is the greatest crime. How many people are going without food in this world even today, and it will intensify in the future. So take whatever is suitable. Take whatever is you can digest easily. So there must be, that rule should be there. So one should not throw away annam. That is a great crime. Such a person simply will not progress in spiritual life. Whether I take it myself or somebody gives it to me, I should never waste. Third, especially this is very good for the good rule, good commandment for the householders. Annam bahu kurvita. So, annam, second one, I did not tell the Sanskrit one. Annam na parichakshita. Parichakshita means what? Should not be wasted. Third, annam bahu kurvita. Make as much food as possible so that it can be distributed easily without much difficulty to other people. Fourth, na kanchana vasatau pratyachakshita. If anybody approaches for shelter and food, one should, especially in the olden days, one should never ever say, I don't have food, I don't want to give food. No. So that is why whatever is there, you share it with you. This is called Atithi Vrata. And Swami Vivekananda in his Karma Yoga cites the example of two birds, how that they entertain by flinging themselves into the fire, and they only brought the fire also in order to entertain the king and the prince who refused to marry the king's daughter. And then there is in Mahabharata the story of the mongoose, half golden, which we will talk perhaps in our next class. So if anybody approaches, if you can help, help them. And whatever you can help, it doesn't matter, help them. If you can't help, as Holy Mother used to say, pray for them, let God help this person as soon as possible. And the last is, Bhagavannam Prapnuyat. So, not only you make the food as much, collect the food as much as possible, and keep it ready, not for one's own enjoyment, for distribution to other people. Apart from these vratas, which have deeper significance, which we will talk in our next class, there are certain upasanas that since everything is the manifestation of Brahman, one should worship our own body, our own mind, of this world. This world is nothing but Brahman trying to help us to reach, to know our own true nature. These are the marvelous points we will discuss in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.